That's all, Bill. Time's up. Besides, you've had enough for one night, don't you think?
No, I don't think.
Bill, would you like me to see you home?
Who asked you to speak to me, eh? You speak when you're spoken.
All right, keep your hair on. I was only trying to be helpful.
I only tried to be helpful. Don't think I don't know what you're saying behind my back, what they're all saying.
Oh, well, I was just trying to be friendly. Good night, all.
Not so fast, Harry, my boy, not so fast. Good night. See these fists? Go on, look at them. If I catch you or anyone else gossiping about me and my missus, I'll ram this fist.
No, gentlemen, let's not have any quarrelling.
Quarrelling? I'm not quarrelling. I'm just telling the world, see? The first man that goes and says anything, and I gets proof positive he said it, I'll kill him, you hear? I'll kill him. Or on second thoughts, I ought to kill the man that caused it all.
Clairol, makers of Miss Clairol shampoo formula hair color and Kindness Instant Hair Setters, invite you to consider your verdict.
She wakes up the sleep in flowers early in the morning. Early in the morning on her way.
And she lets her hair down. The sun comes up and she lets her hair down.
Nothing pretties up a face like a beautiful head of hair, and nothing lightens, brightens, or transforms hair to beautiful new color like Miss Clairol Shampoo-In Hair Color, rich in conditioners to build in body and shine, rich in lasting natural color.
And I'll give her my love till the day I die.
More and more women are using Miss Clairol Shampoo-In Hair Color because nature just can't do it alone.
Yes, I'll give her my love.
My lord, gentlemen of the jury, the prisoner at the bar, William Arthur Harris, stands before you on an indictment that on the 15th of June, 1968, he did willfully, maliciously, and with due premeditation take the life of Robin Percival Brandon. Now, over the years, I've had to lead evidence in many a murder trial, submitted to the jury motives for the taking of human life, strange, subtle, and devious. And let me say right at the outset that this is not such a trial. In fact, one might say in this modern age, where Freud, Jung, and other analysts of human behavior have influenced jurists, that the motive we shall put forward will be so mundane as to be unacceptable. It is with the greatest emphasis that I express the hope that such will not be your attitude, gentlemen of the jury. The motive, as old as civilization itself. A cuckolded man seeking vengeance. Simply and succinctly, the facts are these. Mr. and Mrs. Harris lived at a place known as Salden Hill. In view of the extreme housing shortage, Harris, a foreman builder, and his wife occupied a caravan. It may well be that had Harris not been transferred from London by his firm, this trial might never have taken place. Now, you will learn that the proximity of the three main characters of this human tragedy was to cause Brandon to fall in love with Elizabeth Harris and the outraged husband to commit murder. And it is on that note I call my first witness, Harold Pritchard.
Well,
now you are Harold Pritchard and you reside at 65 Tynemouth Road, Sheldon.
Ever since I left Ireland, sir. And that be 4 years ago.
Now, the prisoner at the bar, William Harris, is he known to you?
Ah, we know each other well enough.
And I'm going to refer to the night of the 14th of June last year, that is 1968.
Oh, you mean what went on in the pub like?
Yes, Mr. Pritchard, I do.
Fair lost his temper, did Bill Harris?
Will you tell the court what happened?
Well, I kept clear of him all evening. Not wanting any trouble.
Well, just a moment, Richard. May we establish the fact that you are both in a public house known as the Shalden Moor Hotel?
That's right, sir. But it'd be more of a pub than a hotel.
Yes, thank you. Now, you say that you kept clear of him. Nevertheless, you did speak to each other just on closing time.
Well, I meant no harm. It was just that, well, I thought that Bill was a bit under the influence, as you might say. So he offered to give him a hand.
Did Harris express gratitude for your offer to assist him?
Gratitude? Threatened me with his fist, he did. Accused me of telling tales about his missus and Robin Brandon.
Now, we have sworn depositions from the publican and two other witnesses as to what actually transpired and the words used. Now, what I'm trying to establish is this. Do you accept the publican's evidence that in both your presence, he said, that he would not only kill anyone, he hears gossiping, but he went on to say, and on second thoughts, and I quote the prisoner's words, I ought to kill the man that caused it all.
Oh, yes, sir. He said that to me.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Pritchard, I want to move on to the night of June the 15th, the night when Brandon was discovered dead. I understand from the testimonies received that you made a statement to the police in which you declare that at approximately 9:05 in the evening of the 15th of June, you were in the vicinity of the Shoreland Caravan Park.
I did say that, sir, because it'd be true.
Would you tell the court how it came about that you were by the park?
Why, certainly. I take the lane just past the camp on my ways home.
On your way home from where, Mr. Pritchard? And how did you know the time?
Well, I was having a drink in the Moor Hotel, and I hears 9 o'clock strike. And it'd be the Avengers on the telly at 9:15, so I downs my drink and I walks home.
Yes, I see. Then what happened?
Well, I hadn't been walking very long, and I hears moaning. I says to myself, somebody's hurt, I says. It seemed to come from Harris Caravan. When I gets closer, I see 'tis Mrs. Harris right by her caravan she was, in a dreadful state. What is it?
Mrs. Harris.
Mrs. White. Dirty rotten brute.
Oh, what happened?
What's happened? Harry, you must call the police. You're Harry Pritchard, aren't you?
Oh, never mind about the police. You need a doctor. Why are you lying there like that?
I ran out of the caravan. As soon as I saw it, I fell down. I haven't been able to move. Oh, I believe I've ripped my ankle.
Here, let me help you up.
No, I'm not going in there. He's in there.
No, he's not. I left your husband in the Moor Hotel.
I'm not talking about my husband. I'm talking about Rob Brandon. He's in there. Bill's killed him.
What? Well, I'll be... Police. I must call the police. I ran out of that caravan as fast as my legs would carry me. Luckily, the station was only up the lane, and I told them that Rob Brandon was lying in Harris' caravan.
Thank you. That is all.
Mr. Pritchard, my client, William Harris, arrived in Shoreland from London about 10 months ago, did he not?
Yes, he did.
There was a great deal of discontent among the locals that somebody should be imported to act as foreman.
Well, sir, they were building this huge boating station, and all of us thought that the foreman should be promoted from those of us already working on the site.
I see. But there was a great deal of resentment?
Yes, sir, I suppose there was.
Thank you. Now, a great deal has been made of the threats uttered by my client. You knew that something had gone wrong with his marriage, that it was a choice morsel of gossip among the locals?
I suppose you could say that, yes, sir.
Before the incident in the Shoreland Moor Hotel on the evening of the 14th of June, have you ever heard Harris threaten to use his fists on anyone? Well, Mr. Pritchard, why don't you answer?
I haven't, no.
Thank you for your grudging admission. My client will say that in his misery, he did consume a considerable amount of liquor that evening. He also says that although no one dare speak to him directly, a number of Shoreland men were uttering coarse comments as to his desirability as a husband and the physical qualities of Robin Brandon. Is that true?
We meant no harm by it. Just having a joke like...
Just having a joke like... Now, Mr. Pritchard, you know that Mrs. Harris has made a statement to the police denying categorically that she said to you, Bill's killed him. She is to appear as witness and will swear on oath that the words she uttered to you were someone's killed him, not that Bill's killed him.
Well, she would say that, wouldn't she?
Say what, Mr. Pritchard?
Oh, sir, she is his wife after all.
Was she not the prisoner's wife when you came across her lying in the gravel by the caravan, having twisted her ankle?
Yes, but she was in great pain. She were terrible upset, like. She didn't know what she was saying.
Would you please repeat that statement?
She didn't what? Well, I just said she didn't know what she was saying.
I'd be grateful if the jury would take cognizance of the witness's statement. Now, sir, you say that when you saw Mrs. Harris, she was distraught, she did not know what she was saying. You went into the caravan and you saw Robin Brandon lying there. There was blood on his face, I assume?
Yes, there were.
Did you examine the man? Look for signs of life?
No, mister, I be no doctor.
Fair comment. Then why did you not send for one?
Beg your pardon, sir?
Perfectly simple question. By your own admission, Mrs. Harris was too overwrought to calmly assess the possibilities that Brandon might still be alive. And by the same token, you rushed helter-skelter to the Sheldon police station, whereas Dr. Tregathick's house was less than 50 yards from the caravan site. Why did you not summon medical assistance?
Sir, I seek protection for this witness. Surely, none of us is able to account for our immediate reactions when the untoward occurs, particularly when one is told that one is in the presence of death.
The nature of this witness's evidence calls for a degree of rebuttal. In the same vein, I don't think the counsel has stepped beyond the bounds of what is proper. Nevertheless, I feel the point has been made and taken. It need not be developed.
As your lordship pleases. Mr. Pritchard, I must ask you a question because your answer is vital to the defense. It is this. Did you or did you not have an affair with Mrs. Harris?
My lord, this is outrageous.
My lord, before you give a ruling, may I point out that we propose to place before the court a letter written by this witness in which he declares his bitter jealousy of the now dead man, Robin Brandon, and goes further, he offers to leave his wife and children to seek a new life with Mrs. Harris.
Before I give a ruling to the question, I would like to hear any comment the witness might wish to make concerning the letter on exhibit.
My lord, as God is my judge, every word I've said in this witness box has been the gospel truth.
Do you admit authorship to such a letter?
I do. She bewitched me. And I wasn't the only one.
So you admit to having an affair with the prisoner's wife?
It weren't no affair. Bill went out to Tavistock on a job. She were in a pub, and I took her back to her caravan.
My lord?
Proceed.
Did you or did you not make love to her that night? Well, Mr. Pritchard?
I were filled with a local cider, all right. I tell you, she bewitched me.
No more questions.
And I'll call Dr. Edwin Tregathick.
Dr. Tregathick, you were in practice at Sheldon and you were called to the caravan site on the 15th of June, 1968.
Yes, I was summoned by Sergeant Gaynor. Mrs. Harris was sitting on the step of the caravan. She was obviously hysterical and in great pain. I went into the caravan and there I saw the body of Robin Brandon. He'd been battered to death. His face was like a pulp.
Would you say that his injuries were consistent with having been beaten with a fist?
It's very difficult to tell. Under normal circumstances, I would be inclined to say no. But having examined the prisoner's hands, then I have no hesitation in saying the injuries were consistent with being struck repeatedly with a man's fist.
Were you able to estimate the time of death?
I and Sergeant Gaynor, together with Pritchard, went to the scene at approximately 18 minutes past nine. The body was still warm. It's my considered opinion that the unfortunate Brandon was battered to death at approximately 8:30.
Thank you, Doctor. Did you not go with Sergeant Gaynor to the Moor Hotel?
After giving Mrs. Harris a sedative and applying a bandage to her ankle and seeing that she was comfortably bedded down, I did, yes.
And did you, at the request of Sergeant Gaynor, examine the prisoner's hands?
Yes. In point of fact, Harris was just coming out of the pub.
Well, better be getting on our way, I suppose.
Good night, all. Good night.
Mr. Harris.
Hello, Sergeant. Do you want me? Oh, Dr. Tregathick, what brings you to these parts?
There's been a tragedy and an accident.
Oh, blimey, you're talking in riddles, eh? Hey, there's nothing wrong with my Betty, is there?
No, nothing serious. Sprained her ankle, that's all.
Well, there's something very serious wrong with Robin Brandon. He's dead.
Dead? You don't mean my Betty didn't... How did he die?
That's what we're trying to find out, Mr. Harris. Do you mind if I have a look at your hands?
Oh, bloody, you don't think that I've...
I couldn't force you, but I could arrest you.
No, not me. I'm no murderer. All right, take a look at my hands.
Well,
Your knuckles are pretty badly bruised, Harris.
Skin's grazed too.
So what? What do you think I'll do with them all day? Try carving bricks?
Those specks of blood have hardly congealed. When did you do this?
Well, I've been working on the site till nearly dusk. I didn't finish till nearly 8 o'clock.
Were you, as a doctor, satisfied with Harris's explanation?
No, sir, I was not.
Thank you. That is all.
My lord, I seek an adjournment. There are one or two developments arising from this witness's evidence.
This real-life drama of the courts is brought to you by Clairol.
She wakes up the sleeping flowers early in the morning. Early in the morning on her way.
And she lets her hair down, the sun comes up, and she lets her hair down.
Nothing pretties up a face like a beautiful head of hair, and nothing lightens, brightens, or transforms hair to beautiful new color like Miss Clairol's shampoo-in hair color, rich in conditioners to build in body and shine, rich in lasting natural color.
And I'll give her my love till the day I die.
More and more women are using Miss Clairol's shampoo-in hair color because nature just can't do it alone.
Yes, I'll give her my love.
And now back to the courtroom, where the trial of Harris has been resumed. Leading counsel for the defense has risen, adjusted his silk, and bows to the bench, and proceeds to cross-examine Dr. Tregenti.
Are you a local man, Doctor?
If by local man you're asking me whether I was born in Sheldon, the answer is no. I was born in Torquay, but I started my practice in Sheldon many years ago and have been there ever since.
Therefore, the answer could be said to be in the affirmative.
As you wish.
Doctor, would you say that the arrival at Sheldon of Mr. and Mrs. Harris, induced in the sleepy village by the sea, an atmosphere of tension and violence?
Yes, I would.
Would you say that Harris was the main instigator of such violence? Well, Doctor, would you?
You place me in some difficulty. I
regret, Doctor, that my question should place you in an invidious position. Nevertheless, sir, I suggest to you that it is not half as invidious as the position my client finds himself in. Have you ever known Harris to indulge in physical violence? And don't mention a murder.
No.
No one has come to you and said, I need medical assistance because I have been brutalized by the man from London?
No one has come to me, no.
Yet you say that the advent of the Harris couple introduced a new atmosphere of violence. Do you still say that?
Yes, I do.
If Harris did not contribute to such violence, who did? His wife?
Let me put it this way. Men have quarreled over her. She was a disturbing influence.
In what way disturbing?
I see that you insist on my saying it. Her morals left a great deal to be desired.
I'm not going to have my wife say drank through the mat.
Prisoner will contain himself.
My lord, I think I should make my position clear to the court. My client sent a note to the defense table protesting at certain questions relating to his wife's character. It was for this reason that I asked for an adjournment. I am convinced of his innocence, but should he attempt to impede me in my conduct of his defense, I must withdraw together with my team.
Harris, you are on trial for a brutal murder. Without wishing to comment on this at this stage, I will suggest to you that your defense team have shown that they are so concerned with your interests, and the fact that your wife has volunteered to give evidence on your behalf demonstrates that she is in accord with the way counsel are conducting your defense. I advise you not to interrupt further.
Sorry, Broad. I won't interrupt again.
Proceed.
As your lordship pleases. You say men quarreled over her? I don't want any hearsay evidence, Doctor. Did you witness such quarreling?
Yes. I had to give medical attention to someone.
Let's not be coy, Doctor. You'll not be betraying your Hippocratic oath by mentioning names. I suggest one was the dead man, Mr. Robin Brandon. Is that not so? And the other was a gentleman who has already made himself known to this court, Mr. Harold Pritchard. It took place by Brandon's boating sheds, did it not?
Yes.
I understand it was on June the 6th, 9 days before the tragedy.
Around about then, yes.
Well, please tell the court what happened.
Well, I had just bought my dinghy and it needed repair. There you are, Robin.
see where I scraped it? Bit of sandpapering and a lick of paint will do the trick. I say, there's Harry Pritchard. What's the matter with him? He's got a face as black as thunder.
You? I want a word with you, Robin Brandon. What is this I hear? Shooting your mouth off in the pub. You look to your morals and I look to mine.
Oh, I'm off.
Don't go, Doctor.
Huh?
I want you to be witness to this. If you shoot your mouth off about me and Betty Harris, Robin Brandon, I'll make sure that you'll wish you had never been born.
Pritchard was extremely angry. They began to fight. I tried to stop them, but couldn't. They went on exchanging blows for a full 3 minutes, and then Sergeant Gaynor appeared on the scene and separated them.
Thank you.
And now, Doctor...
A crucial question. My client's knuckles.
Yes?
Had you not seen Brandon's battered face, would you not have accepted Harris's explanation that his hands became lacerated and bruised whilst pursuing his employment?
Well, of course, but...
That's all.
I now call Detective Sergeant Paul Gaynor.
Sergeant, in response to Mr. Pritchard's urgent summons, you went to the caravan occupied by Mr. and Mrs. Harris.
I did, sir. I examined the body of Brandon. I realized he was dead all right. Naturally, I rushed to get medical aid. I then took a statement from Mrs. Harris.
Is this the statement here? Would you take a look at it, please?
Yes, sir.
Will you kindly read it to the court?
Very good, sir. It is dated June 15th, 1968. It reads, "My name is Elizabeth Harris,
and I live at Chorden Hill. Tonight at about 8:30 p.m., I went to visit my friend that has been at 21 Smugglers Row, Chorden. My husband had been away all day. Tell me he was working late and that he'd looking for a drink at the Moor Hotel before coming home. That's why I was not at all worried when he didn't come home for dinner. At about 9:05, I got back to our caravan. I opened the door and saw a body lying on the floor. It was a man I've known as Robin Brandon. His face was all bashed in. I lost my head and ran out to the caravan to get help, forgetting that there were two steps. I fell to the ground and twisted my ankle, as well as sustaining a number of bruises to my elbow and face. I couldn't stand up, and I saw somebody coming from the lane. I shouted for help. And it turned out to be Mr. Harold Pritchard, whom I know well. He went to get help. I deny saying that my husband killed Rob Brandon. Well, my husband's a very big and strong man and given to bursts of temper. I've never known him raise a finger to anyone, man, woman, or child. I have had this statement read over to me and agree this is exactly
as I have stated it. Signed, Elizabeth Harris. It is duly witnessed by two policemen, sir.
Oh, thank you, Sergeant. When was this statement made?
Well, sir, Dr. Tregathick said she was in too hysterical a condition to question her immediately. I took the statement from her after she'd called to see her husband at the police station.
Thank you. Now, I want to refer to that scene. I understand that after you arrested Harris, you went back to the caravan.
Yes, sir. I went back to tell her that we'd arrested her husband on suspicion of having murdered Brandon. She insisted on seeing him, despite the fact that she was limping badly.
Oh, Bill, why'd you do it?
Hey, what are you talking about? What have you been telling them, eh? I didn't touch your lover, boy. Have you been accusing me of murdering Brandon?
No, darling, no. Who and the policeman said you'd been arrested for murder?
Get this into your head. I didn't kill him, you hear? And they can't make you testify against me. I haven't seen your lover boy for 2 days.
Now, Sergeant, the defense has allowed us to introduce the prisoner's wife's statement as it is a refutation of what the principal witness for the prosecution declares. Pritchard has sworn that she said that her husband killed Brandon. She denies this in her statement, yet you personally heard her say, why did you do it?
Yes, I did.
It's a common cause that Brandon was killed between the hours of 8 and 9. Has the prisoner given a satisfactory alibi for that time?
No, sir. He admits that he left the building site at 8 o'clock. He was seen to enter the Moor Hotel at 20 to 9. He admits walking along the Tynmouth Road. He had every opportunity to go to his caravan and kill the man he regarded as his wife's lover.
Thank you, Sergeant. That is all.
Sergeant, have you a personal antipathy towards my client?
Why should I, sir? We're both from London.
You know that my client was uttering threats against people who were gossiping about he and his wife. Do you agree?
Yes. But more in particular, sir, he threatened the life of Brandon the night before Brandon was murdered.
Would you say that quite a number of Sheldon men became infatuated with Mrs. Harris?
Objection! Well,
withdraw the question. Sergeant, I suggest to you that at least two other, shall we say, men friends of Mrs. Harris's, hated Brandon for usurping their place in her affections. Well, I see that you do not choose to answer. Did you question Mrs. Harris as to what Brandon was doing in her caravan?
Yes. She said she had no idea what he was doing there.
There was no assignation. They did not arrange to meet.
So, she says...
And why that tone, Sergeant? Have you not verified her statement that she was at her friend's house?
I have. But that doesn't mean that she hadn't arranged to meet Brandon afterwards.
Despite it being evening when caravan users would be at home, have you found anyone who can swear to seeing my client within the vicinity of the caravan park at all that evening?
No.
The answer is no, you say. Thank you. No more questions.
Closes the case for the Crown, my lord. Defense?
My lord, I have but one witness, the prisoner's wife. Did you at any time accuse your husband of murdering Brandon?
It's all so simple now, isn't it? I swear that when I saw Robin lying there, I thought, some jealous swine has done this, but not my husband. There have been people speaking in this court who threatened to kill him. People who wept and pleaded with me and made scenes, but not my Bill. He's too proud a man.
I forgive this next question, but it must be asked. Did you love Brandon?
No. Oh, I don't know. No one will understand. No one except my husband. And if anyone wants to be punished for the way I've treated him, it should be me.
Did you accuse your husband? Were not your first words when you saw him at the police station, why did you do it?
Yes. It was that police sergeant. He came and told me that they'd arrest my Bill for murdering Brandon. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I thought that Bill had told the sergeant that he was a killer.
As soon as he protested his innocence, you believed him.
With all my heart and soul.
In spite of the accusations that he took the life of your lover?
Bill is the gentlest man I've ever met. Perhaps if he weren't so gentle, he's the stronger, and yet...
Yes, Mrs. Harris?
Never mind.
Thank you for believing in your husband's innocence. I won't continue your ordeal.
Mrs. Harris, I suggest that you had arranged to meet Brandon in your caravan that fatal evening, knowing that your husband would go straight from his building site to the hotel.
That isn't true.
And I suggest that your husband did not go straight to the hotel, that he saw the two of you together, that he struck and killed your lover, and that in your attempts to shield Brandon, you were thrown to the ground, causing damage to your face and ankle.
It isn't true. It isn't true.
Well, you have heard all the relevant facts. Now we ask you to consider your verdict. Would you say that William Harris was guilty of the murder of Robin Brandon? In a moment or two, we shall give you the verdict recorded in the actual trial.
She wakes up to sleep in flowers early in the morning. Early in the morning on her way. And she lets her hair down, the sun comes up, and she lets her hair down.
Nothing pretties up a face like a beautiful head of hair, and nothing lightens, brightens, or transforms hair to beautiful new color like Miss Clairol Shampoo In Hair Color, rich in conditioners to build in body and shine, rich in lasting natural color.
And I'll give her my love till the day I die.
More and more women are using Miss Clairol Shampoo In Hair Color, because nature just can't do it alone.
Yes, I'll give her my love.
Well, what is your verdict? Would you say that William Harris was guilty or not of murder? In the actual trial on which this dramatic presentation is based, the jury returned a verdict of not guilty.
Clairol, makers of Miss Clairol Shampoo Formula Hair Color, Born Blonde Hair Lightener, and Picture Perfect Instant Color Rinse, hope you enjoyed tonight's presentation of... Consider Your Verdict, produced by Michael Silver. On Friday evening at 8:30, you're invited to listen to Medical File. So goodbye until next Tuesday, when it will be time once again to take your place on the jury of... Consider Your Verdict.